Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, is France on the verge of a revolution? Well, with 45 weeks of protests at best, this is indicative of major problems in that society. And now, it is not just the yellow vests which are protesting, but the unions, environmentalists, and others. The groups have many perspectives, but one thing they have in common is that they are not happy with the French government under Emmanuel Macron.
France saw the worst day of nationwide violence against protesters since May 1st, when unchecked police brutality infamously forced demonstrators to take refuge in a hospital. It was the 45th consecutive weekend of yellow vest anti-government demonstrations, but they were joined by environmental protesters as well as unions fighting President Emmanuel Macron's right-wing reform of the pension system.
What we have in common is that we share a feeling of injustice about climate, about fiscality, work, anything. They are making laws about retirement, unemployed people and everything. So there is a lot of different people here today, but what we share, what we all have in common is a feeling of injustice.
It was also France's National Heritage Weekend, when the nation's historic and governmental sites are usually open to visitors. This year, many sites were closed, and as usual, protesters were banned from many central areas. A massive police presence launched tear gas and rubber bullets at the elderly, women, and children, and beat protesters.
There has been so much police brutality today and in recent months. It's clear that the Fifth Republic is dead and that we must change not only the Macron regime, but our entire system. The French people are being ruled by thieves.
Black bloc protesters hijacked the ecological demonstration and vented their anger at their usual targets: banks, sexist advertisements, and real estate companies. They also caused damage to the Egyptian Cultural Center, likely in solidarity with this weekend's protests against Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, whom U.S. President Donald Trump recently called his favorite dictator.
Our recent governments serve only the rich class instead of serving the people. That's the problem. France has enough money and produces many goods, but these are not distributed fairly. At the same time, our government is taking away the social rights we fought decades to win.
In Paris alone, at least 200 people were arrested, hundreds more were fined, many were seriously injured, and thousands were hurt by tear gas.
Yet another Saturday full of state repression across France. The coming week will see multiple nationwide strikes against the pension system rollback, and the cycle of violence seems set to continue. Rami Mazahari, Press TV, Paris.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of Bristol, investigative journalist Tony Gosling, and out of Mexico City, professor of economics, Metropolitan Autonomous University, David Barkin. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Mexico with David. Now, since November of 2018, since protests started, thousands of people have been arrested, intimidated, and many wounded, and several even killed. What is happening inside of France that we see such a clampdown that would cause this effect?
Well, I think that we have to understand that this is part of a long tradition in France and reflects the non-hierarchical and broad popular support for a large series, as your report showed, of protests against the policies which are involve the transition from a previous kind of extreme neoliberal inadequate socialist policies to an attempt to move in a neoliberal direction. The important part about this, I think, is that although there are a large number of people on the barricades, the yellow vests, as they're called, the gilet jaune, are receiving a great amount of popular support from the population that is not on the barricades.
Okay, well, I'll talk about that a little bit later, but, well, Tony, now it appears that the lack of satisfaction the French populaces across the board. As our guest just said, many who perhaps are not protesting but actually are supporting young and old, those living in the capital and other areas. So what is it about the French government that has caused this type of reaction?
Well, yes, the other guest was quite right. Macron is just a tool of the neoliberal elite. He's a former Rothschild banker, Emmanuel Macron. In fact, very much like the Remainer rebel leader amongst the Tory party in Britain, that's Oliver Letwin. Both of them ex-Rothschild bankers. And so what's going on in France is really about, it's very clear what this is about. It's about distribution of wealth. Now, if a society allows wealth to become too concentrated, where you've got, say, 0.01% of the people owning something like half of the wealth, then what happens is there's bound to be a backlash. And after the Second World War in Europe, we saw a kind of understanding that that was what government was for. It was there to make sure, almost like a family, that the government would treat the citizens like a family. So in other words, would look after the vulnerable. Even if someone was unproductive, they would be cared for. And that is being stripped away by the neoliberal elite. And what's happening now is the vulnerable, the poor, the unproductive, people who are finding it difficult to get work or whatever, are being punished. And Macron is implementing that program in France, which has got one of the strongest egalitarian philosophies and socialist traditions in the whole of Europe. In fact, they're very well organized in France. And so that's why we've seen 7,500 police out on the streets, many thousands demonstrating in France this weekend again, but virtually no coverage. What the way that the newsrooms in the West justify this is they say, well, oh, this is going on every weekend now, and so it's not really news anymore. And so they concentrate on certain demonstrations, and other types of demonstrations get totally ignored in the press.
Well, Tony, I'm sorry to jump in. You just brought up something interesting about mainstream media coverage, and that it's happening every weekend, so no longer newsworthy. I'm wondering if this was happening in, for example, a place like Iran, 45 weeks, if it would be newsworthy or not for them to cover it.
Well, of course, if it was happening in Iran, they'd be covering it all the time. I mean, for example, in Egypt, there's been little or no coverage of those demonstrations this weekend. Completely the opposite, though, of course, in Hong Kong. Every time there's a demonstration, and these have been going on for many weeks now, that is thoroughly covered. And we can notice the difference here. And Navalny's demonstrations in Moscow, they are always covered. So basically, if the demonstrators are doing something which is annoying the enemies of the West, China or Russia, then they get a massive amount of coverage on the media. And if not, then they use this excuse. They say, oh, well, this is just normal. Well, of course, 7,500 police on the streets of Paris turning the Champs-Élysées into a no-go zone, which is what they've done. Hundreds of arrests of people who are gathering together on the Champs-Élysées this weekend, and 400 fined for even just being there. That is not covered here in the Western press,
okay,
because it shows that the West's actually failing itself. Its leaders, like, what they called Macron, which I think is a brilliant term in France, the word on the streets is that he's the king of blah, blah. So he's a king. They don't see him as an elected leader. They see him as some kind of monarch. And actually, all he ever does is go blah, blah, blah on the television, and nothing changes.
Okay, let me get David back in on this. Well, David, in this transition that you call going from socialism to neoliberalism, and now this reaction by the people, your assessment of this, how dangerous is a continuation of these protests for the French elite or the French government?
I think that the word you used, dangerous, is a big problem. There's a fundamental schism in French society, and that's what's going on. That's what's been going on for almost a year now on the streets. The present government was elected as a reaction and won against the proposal of Marie Le Pen and the ultra-right wing group.
Mm-hmm.
And they proposed a different kind of strategy for getting over the economic crisis. But in fact, what they've done is gone full steam ahead with a neoliberal policy. We have to really understand that what's going on now harks back to the peasant mobilizations at the end of the 70s in the last century, where José Bové, for example, was very successful in forcing a rethinking of France's participation in the common economic policies in Europe when he bulldozed the McDonald's outlet in the southern part of France. Mm-hmm. Macron has been obliged over the course of the past 6 months or so to reverse some of his austerity measures, but it's quite clear that they're still insufficient to deal with the profound heightening of the attack against not only the poor, not only the really working class, but actually the middle class. The revision of the pension system, perhaps, is one of the harshest policies which has hit virtually everyone in the lower 65% of the population.
Well, that's what I was saying, David, when I said dangerous to the elite. It means to the powers that be, as far as their hold onto power and continuing actually to be in that position of ruling, if you want to use that word, the society. But moving on to Tony now, in your perspective, besides the widespread discontent that we've been talking about, and as our guest here in Mexico City described it as this transition from socialism to neoliberalism, at this point in time, what do you think Macron is going to do to try to address the main concerns of the protesters? Or do you think that he is going to even attempt that?
Well, look, he is the oligarchy's hatchet man. And see, one of the reasons there's not hardly any coverage of the Yellow Vest protests in the Western press, and certainly no detailed coverage, is because that would involve the discussion of their demands. They've got 25 very clear demands, which include public sector spending boosting, nationalisation of infrastructure, leaving the European Union, ending of economic migration. They're not against asylum seekers and people in actual trouble coming to France at all, but they've said that economic migration has gone too far. They want to control the pharmaceutical industry. They want to control the French arms industry. They want to tax the super rich. They want to take over the banks in order to bring them into line to make sure that what they're doing is investing in good things, which are good for society, and not in war, for example. And the other important thing is they want binding referenda, like they have in Switzerland, for example. So a bit like if there was a referendum on leaving the EU, for example, they wouldn't be able to shilly-shally like the British Parliament has got, but they'd have to just get on and do it. These 25 demands send a shiver down the spine of the French elite and the European elite. If these kind of united front was happening across Europe, many of the super rich, the 0.001%, would start to worry that they were losing control, they were losing the ownership of Europe, which is what they've got over the last 30 or 40 years. Mm. Also interesting, one of the things I've seen with this protest this weekend is that you've got a climate protest going on at the same time as the Yellow Vests. Now, there's a fascinating clash of ideologies between the two, because the Extinction Rebellion people, they want the fuel taxes, you know? This is what we want. And actually, the Gilets Jaunes have been protesting against the fuel taxes. Mm-hmm. So you've got a kind of clash of ideologies. You've got on one side the environmentalists that are supporting Macron's moves to introduce new taxes, and the Gilets Jaunes are totally against that. So they're not actually aligned, these two protests, which is possibly why we've seen so many clashes with the anarchists getting involved as well this weekend.
Well, David, talking about those 25 demands of the Yellow Vest, now, how practical are these demands, and how likely are we to see the government give in to those demands?
I think that the question of practicality is actually irrelevant. The demands involve a rethinking of French society. And the question on the block right now is, to what extent can French society be reorganized? And that is the question that is being fought out partly in the streets, but it's also a very, very profound, long struggle within the country about what is the relationship of France to the rest of Europe, and what is happening with the takeover of a very, very small elite, as Tony is continually saying, of the upper levels of the institutions. The question of whether France can make a transition back to a stronger protection of its people, whether France can avoid the wholesale privatization, and France can avoid the pressures of the global economic elite, the World Economic Forum, as an institution which houses all of those people. That's the question on the agenda in France right now.
And what do you think, and your analysis of that?
My analysis is that in the long run, French history has shown that it will be able to make very, very substantial inroads against that international agenda. Hmm. That will be necessary for France's internal stability and France's continued membership in a different kind of EU.
Well, your take on that, Tony, because of course it's a different world that we have, and we see the neoliberal agenda being carried out throughout the world. Do you think that these individuals will be able to sustain their resistance and overcome, and as David said, basically reorganize French society? It would also seem that the elite would definitely try their best to stop that. Your take?
Well, look, Macron is the, as I say, the king of blah, blah. He's the elite's puppet. The problem is, if he will pay a price if he ignores these protests, which he has been so far doing. In other words, he's been blah-blahing, making a few changes, but he's been really ignoring the protests and hoping they'll go away. The price he will pay is as follows. We will see more and more, and the French have done this for decades, and they will be doing it again this winter. It is that there will be property damage. There will be financial cost. And as soon as there is big financial, I mean, I see yesterday an attack on the banks, physical attacks, burning of banks, smashing of banks, and estate agents, the property sellers and buyers in Paris being attacked. As this sort of thing starts to happen, then the government has to sit up and take notice, because the financial, it becomes very difficult to insure these things. And these financial costs, as we saw with the end of the IRA bombing campaign in Britain, it's financial cost that forces the government to sit up and take notice. So that is the cost that Macron will pay if he ignores and continues to ignore this protest, which has gone on for nearly a year now, mm-hmm. is that there will be a financial cost for him to pay, and he will have to take notice.
And your take, David, as our guest says, that Macron will have to take notice, that he feels like you do, that there will be some changes that are implemented in French society. You mentioned also the rest of Europe. Can these demonstrations, do you think that they can have an effect on other countries in Europe? Because, of course, we've seen this neoliberal agenda actually basically doing so much of that, their agenda being spread throughout the European continent. Your take, and if not, if you don't see anything happening in other places, what's the difference?
Well, I think that that things are happening elsewhere in Europe. I think that the unlike Tony, although there is a clash of demand with regard to fuel taxes, I think there's a coincidence in the climate and the Gilets Jaunes movement in the need for restructuring the elite or rebalancing the elite's participation in French society. I think that the real one of the real questions facing Macron is if he has any chance at all of surviving. I think that there are a series of other parties that and other leaders that are coming up that are not from the neoliberal right, but rather from a very, very profound commitment on the part of social society to the three demands of the French Revolution: liberté, égalité, fraternité. And I think that it would be very, very important for us to understand that those demands are also finding very responsive chords in Portugal, Spain, Italy, and perhaps and certainly in Switzerland and the Benelux countries.
Okay. And Tony, last question. I mean, your take, David just talked about the main concepts of the French Revolution. Your take, are we going to be able to see a French society going back to that liberty, equality, and fraternity?
Well, look, we saw a brilliant French arts movement, the Situationists, back in the 1960s, really taking the mickey. It was called the Society of the Spectacle, taking the mickey out of the propaganda that is spewed out. And that's one of the reasons why people are on the streets in France, because they don't watch their televisions anymore, because they know that what they're getting there is propaganda. They're not getting any proper satire. They go out on the streets and do this stuff. And this is why what's happening in France is so important. It's actually an example to the rest of Europe saying, look, this is how to do it, guys. And they're not just doing that. They've also put together a brilliant manifesto and saying, this is a united front for the whole of Europe. We can all pick up these ideals and we can all run with them. There's a similar thing going on in Britain with Brexit, actually, which is the British in their own way.
20
not
seconds,
quite so
20 seconds,
on the street in France, but the British are saying to Europe as well, look, we can also end this control, this corporate control through Brussels, and we don't mind being friends with other Europeans, but we want to have our own ability to make our own laws. And, that's
and
exactly
on that
what
note, so sorry I have to interrupt you, but I appreciate both of you being with us. Tony Gosling, investigative journalist out of Bristol. David Barkin, professor of economics, Metropolitan Autonomous University out of Mexico City. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashimi. Hope to see you right here next time.